Welcome to Couples Therapy in 7 Words. I am your co-host, Judy Alexander, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Bruce Chalmer.
Well, hello, Judy, and hello, listeners. And our topic for today is...
How do I know when to call it quits?
Yeah, which is, you know, let's face it, a kind of heavy topic. Certainly, as you might expect, since I work with couples, it's a pretty common topic. So we're going to be talking about that. Before we do that, first of all, we want to invite you to comment and rate us and subscribe and do all those neat things that people do online to let other people know about our podcast. And of course, just plain old tell your friends. And we have been, you know, our average numbers are increasing every week, and that's just really exciting for us. And we'd like to see, as I think I said last time, we'd like to see this podcast go viral in a good way.
Yes. So thank you to all our listeners, and thank you for telling your friends.
And before we start in on our topic for today, we're going to pause for a commercial from our sponsor, which is the book that I wrote that came out just about a year ago, not quite a year ago. So the book that I wrote is called...
Reigniting the Spark: Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back.
And it is available anywhere books are sold. We'd especially like to invite you, however you acquire the book, whether you get it from your local bookstore or whether you order it online from any of the big online folks, if you could do an Amazon review, that would be really helpful. That's often how folks find out about books these days. So we'd certainly appreciate that. And what we talk about in the book is all kinds of stuff. And Judy, let me just ask you, what stands out for you, at least today, what stands out for you about what's in the book?
Well, actually, our topic for today is one of the things that stands out, because we did get a letter from a listener, and I realized that we hadn't covered this topic yet, which is, how do I know when to call it quits? So that's one of the topics that stands out for me, as well as, I like the chapter on sex, good sex, and sacred sex.
Indeed.
And I believe we did cover that topic in one of our shows, but that's been a popular topic, and people have written in to comment about that. And, you know, just following the formula of the be kind, don't panic, and have faith, and the part go and learn. So that's what we're here today for, to go and learn.
Exactly. It's that last section where what we do is we apply the words of the formula to those various situations. And so, yes, indeed, as we'll get to shortly, our topic for today is one of those situations. But of course, what this is pointing out, or what we're implying here, is that this book is great for you if you're in a troubled relationship, of course. And, mm-hmm. you know, our topic for today about how to know when to call it quits is certainly for couples who are having some problems.
Right. But we've also heard from many of our listeners who said that it's not just for people in troubled relationships. In fact, I think we read some of the reviews on the air a few podcasts ago that said it's really for any couple that just wants to, you know, add something and deepen their relationship. So we're, you know, grateful that our listeners are telling us that, and our readers are letting us know that that's one of the things they're getting out of the book. It's not just for troubled relationships.
And you can find direct links to how to get a hold of the book if you just go to brucechalmer.com and go to the books tab. That will direct you right where you might be able to get a hold of the book, and we hope you will do it. And now, on with our podcast. So our topic for today, as we've said, is how to know when to call it quits. So, Judy, let me just toss that over to you. Like, when you think about that topic, like how, and look, for our listeners who may not know this, we are a second marriage with each other. We've both been married before, and we're divorced, and we have each of us faced this question. How do you make a decision like that?
Well, it's not easy, I can tell you that. I think when you've come to the point where you just can't live with that person anymore, that either you're going to kill him or have a nervous breakdown.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. For the first thing you said, I think, when I asked you, you know, how do you figure this out? You said it's not easy. I will tell you, there are some folks where it's painfully easy. And I say that with compassion, you know, mm-hmm. where perhaps they don't have a whole lot of external factors that make it harder. It's always hard, but they have some, they don't have a whole lot of external factors that make it harder. Like they don't have kids. Mm-hmm. They haven't intertwined their financial lives, you know. In that case, it's, again, I'm not minimizing it, but it's less difficult.
Yeah. And well, then, that's true. I hadn't thought of that.
And then there are folks.
I was in a marriage with kids.
Well, exactly. You were in a marriage with kids, as was I. Mm-hmm. And it's those external factors, if they're absent, I say, I never want to say it makes it easy, but it is less difficult. Mm-hmm. And moreover, then there are the situations where it's so bad and there aren't those external factors that, you know, I've had people say to me, if only women, for example, if only he would hit me, at least I'd know what to do. Mm-hmm. They're not literally, obviously not asking for violence, but in the, you know, sometimes people are saying, I'm miserable and yet I still love him.
Yeah.
And so those are the situations that are difficult. Mm-hmm. What I do in the book, and I, you know, I have a whole chapter on this in the book, and we're going to talk about today sort of the way I like to think about this. The first thing I suggest is, look, let's distinguish between your situation, whether it's a deal breaker or growing pains. Now, what do I mean by that? You know, deal breakers, when I say deal breakers, you might think deal breakers are just, it just means it's really, really bad. And that's, oddly enough, not what I mean. I'm talking, God, kind of this brings out my inner nerd, doesn't it? I'm talking more in logical terms. There are things that are logical deal breakers that aren't about ill will in any way, you know, mm-hmm. that are not even about nasty conflict. And the classic example of this is one person really super wants to have children, or let's say have more children, and the other absolutely doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with couples where that's been the case. Two people who are in love and respect each other and treat each other well, but there's no compromise on that. Do you know what I mean? It's you can't sort of have a kid.
Right.
So that's an example. Or even something like where to live. I mean, there are people who absolutely just can't imagine not living near their parents, let's say. Mm-hmm. And other people who say, well, you get two people who both feel that way and their parents live 3,000 miles apart. What are
that's
you going to
do
problem.
There?
And sometimes it rises to the level of deal breaker.
Mm-hmm. Or some people might want to live in a city and others want to live in a country and, you know, never the twain shall meet.
Absolutely. Or even, you know, having a dog and not having a dog, mm-hmm. you know, things of that. And I don't mean to trivialize that at all. Those are
important things in people's lives.
Yeah, they can rise to that level. And, you know, as I point out in the book, look, if you've got something that you realize is a deal breaker because neither party in good faith, neither party is going to change their mind, it's painful, but it's simple. You know, it's like, well, if it's a deal breaker, then you're going to have to break the deal, right? That's mm-hmm. what you realize. Mm-hmm. So not surprisingly, perhaps, most of the folks who consult me around this kind of topic are not dealing with deal breakers, or they would have figured out they need to break the deal. You know, occasionally I'll get that, and mm-hmm. they just kind of need a structured discussion to help them figure it out. But more often, it's what I call, in general, growing pains. And growing pains are things that, in theory at least, you could heal from. And, you know, I'm even including awful, you know, awful conflict, violence, whatever. I mean, I'm not for a moment minimizing the effect of violence, but I'm saying, in theory, couples, and sometimes do, recover from that. You know, they can get to the point where, well, okay, that's never going to happen again, and we sure did learn from that, and we can move on and be okay. We can heal, we can forgive, you know. Those are things that are at least in theory possible. Mm-hmm. They don't always work. So if what you're dealing with is growing pains, that doesn't solve your problem right off, because you still might end up having to break up if you realize that the growing pains are telling you, wow, bummer, but we're just not right for each other.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't always know.
Right.
So those are the difficult situations. And what I do in the book, and you've read the book, but maybe some of our listeners haven't, I boil it down to three guidelines. And I think it's useful because it not only do these guidelines help you in that particular situation, but they clarify a way of thinking that I think is useful even when you're not thinking about breaking up. So the first one is, don't break up too soon. Now, where do I get off saying too soon, mm-hmm. you know? Because, you know, what do you suppose, if I said to you, if you're in a situation like that and I said to you, well, don't break up too soon, what would you be thinking?
Well, I'd be thinking, what are you, crazy? I got to get out of this right away. Or, What's too soon?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, of course, those are the follow-ups, right? Yeah, and I can't tell you what too soon is. But what I can say is that too soon is when you're breaking up in a panic. Now, again, if you're in a panic-inducing situation, like you're not safe, mm-hmm. that has to basically sort of, you know, overwhelm the whole situation. It's like, if you're not safe, you need to get out. Right. That's all there is to it. But I'm talking about situations where you may be physically safe. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not worried about physical violence, but you're in a lot of pain. And whatever too soon is before you've learned what you need to learn from this. Because there are so many folks who tell me after they've healed from something, you know, when they've gone through a struggle and healed from it and feel much better, they've said, you know, I've been through this in other relationships. And if I knew then what I know now, I might not have had to break up.
Hmm.
It's that kind of stuff. It's maturity. You yeah. know, we learn a lot more from pain than we do from pleasure. And I don't get me wrong. I like pleasure a lot more than pain. I'm all for pleasure.
Well, you know, any successful person will tell you that they've learned more from failure than from their successes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So too soon just means if you're in a panic, if you can calm yourself down, which of course gets into guideline number two. Guideline number two is get hold of yourself,
mm-hmm.
which is all about, you know, in our formula, be kind, don't panic, and have faith. It's all about the don't panic part.
Uh-huh.
It's like, okay, wait a minute. Calm down enough. I'm not saying, you know, eliminate anxiety. Lots of people do that with drugs or alcohol, you know. Not a good plan in these situations. But you do need to find a way of tolerating the anxiety of not knowing so that you can have a fully functioning brain. Because in figuring out how to proceed, you're going to have to be calm enough so that you're not just responding with panic. Usually responding with panic, unless it's a genuine, you know, unless there's a need for panic. Panic is there to help us survive. If survival is not what's on the table, then panic is not going to help you in the situation. And what could happen if you panic and just, and you know, if you don't get hold of yourself, is you end up, as I said, breaking up too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, you haven't learned the lesson you need to learn, and you're probably just going to have to go through it again with someone else.
Right.
So get hold of yourself is the second guideline. And that's what facilitates the third, which is get to the right argument. Now, what do I mean, get to the right argument? And again, you can, you know, I know this experience from my own experience. You may also from your, you know, from your first marriage. What happens when a couple is having serious difficulty? Very often, there's something really scary sitting there. Often, I don't mean to make it all mysterious. Sometimes the scary thing is, oh my God, are we okay for each other? You know,
right.
Do we have to break up? And it's going to be really difficult if we do. And so instead of actually looking at that, what happens often is they will fight about everything else. Everything will set them off. They'll be in this constant cycle of panic, and then they'll calm down a little bit, and then something will set them off, you know, something trivial. This is the symptom of this is when couples come in and say, you know, anything can set us off.
Mm-hmm.
And that the solution there is, well, okay, you need to get to the right argument. And it's not always obvious what the right argument is, but often it's something that once you clarify it, you can say, oh, wow, there's our problem. I think I give an example in the book, which is, again, a very common example from my practice, of a couple who moved in together and thought, at least the woman of the couple thought, that the man was saying, yes, I will marry you and, you know, I will commit to you in those ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out they end up squabbling about everything. And when you really are able to face what's going on, turns out the man, when he moved in, really wasn't at all sure that he wanted to commit to a marriage. Maybe he had been hurt before in a marriage. Who knows? That was the example I gave. And when you get to the right argument, it's not like it's easy. It doesn't solve your problem. But what happens is the couple stops squabbling. They, you know, they
yeah.
get calmer. They don't, it doesn't make it easy.
Uh-huh.
But they say, oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what it's been about.
Yeah, exactly. And they can even find respect for each other. It's like, oh, you know, and the example I gave, which again is a pretty common one in my practice. I mean, the woman in that situation often feels like, I wish you had told me this. You know, I wish you hadn't agreed to something. Well, you, I don't know how personal we want to get, but I know in your life story, you've had some example of, you know, you thought your husband at the time was committing to doing something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't suppose we should go into too much detail there, but you, and then changed his mind, and mm-hmm. sure would have been nice if he had figured that out before.
Sure would have been nice, but, you know, things worked out in the end.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And that's because I had faith.
Well, yeah. And
you know, which is, I know that's a big part of your shtick of, you know, that's your thesis is having faith. And, you know, that helped me through it.
And the faith in particular, well, say more about that. Like what faith do you, how did faith help you through it, do you think?
Well, you know, it's like I had a revelation, and I don't know if it was, you know, a voice from above, but it, just something said to me, things are going to be all right.
Mm.
And I think I knew that on some level, but, you know, I just had this inner feeling, this inner voice that told me that, that in my deepest, darkest moments of despair, I just had this revelation that things were going to turn out fine, and I just had to accept the situation and move on and do what I could do to make it a better situation.
Mm. So. And, you know, to do that, what you're exemplifying there indeed is faith in its various, you know, in the book, I talk about three kinds of faith. The first kind you need is faith in your own validity. You were convinced that you were a valid person and you could make, you know, your preferences mattered.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it was okay for you to decide that you were unhappy in the situation and you could use whatever power you had to do what you could do. And the second piece of it was faith in your ability to handle what happens. That's what you were describing, resilience. You recognized, you just had this inner sense that, you know, you can handle what life throws at you even when it's hard. And the third thing you were exemplifying was faith in the big picture, you know, that mm-hmm. that sense that you don't know if you heard it from above or whatever, but you don't even have to be religious, you know, in terms of like God to think this way. You had faith that life is livable, you know, that people, we've evolved to be, we can handle stuff when it happens. That's the resilience part, and it's all meaningful.
Yeah, that and it was. Okay. It was like I had this moment of clarity.
Mm.
That just said, you will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole, everything about me lightened up from that moment on.
Mm.
And it took a long time. I'm not saying it was an easy journey, but it took a while. But I just knew that things were going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. So here we are now.
I
you know,
yeah.
It wasn't an overnight success, you know. It was years. It was years of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But through it all, I just had this feeling. I just, you know, like you said, that there's a rightness in the universe.
Yeah, which is indeed, that's exactly how
right.
I
which I couldn't
faith.
I couldn't have articulated it then, not having read your book because you hadn't written it yet. But that's really what it is that having that faith that
that faith that reality is right.
Reality
to be
is right. Thank
yes,
you.
Exactly.
That's the words
yeah.
I'm looking for.
And of course, you know, it's interesting you say that because I also went through my own sorts of revelations of that sort. It was very difficult for many years, and I couldn't have articulated it either. And of course, it is that kind of experience that is what I built on in coming up with that formulation. It's like, wow, I had to know somehow that life was livable and that it was meaningful. And, you know, when you have that faith, and I hear this from couples quite a bit, that's what lets you look back on a really painful situation that you've recovered from, that you've healed from, and be grateful for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, gratitude for pain, it sounds sort of new agey, and I'm not a new agey kind of guy, but it really is. I wouldn't appreciate you as much as I appreciate you but for the fact that I've been through some really painful situations in my life, and so have you. And I think that's an important part of faith.
Absolutely, yeah. So, like you said, these are the painful life lessons that, you know, can make or break you, and hopefully it will make you a stronger person. Mm-hmm. So, we have gotten to the part of our program where we take our listener questions. And as I said earlier, this question kind of drove the topic of our conversation today. So let me read to you. Mimi writes, "Dear Dr. Chalmer, I've been married to Tony for 22 years. At first, everything was great, but in the last 5 years or so, I have slowly felt my love for Tony dying. I just feel that we've grown apart and that I am going through the motions of marriage. We have one son who is graduating from high school this year. We're both working. Tony is a mechanic and I'm a nurse practitioner. There hasn't been any one thing causing this. I just don't feel that I'm in love with him anymore, nor am I attracted to him. We don't have sex, which is actually fine with me, because the last few years before we stopped, our sex life wasn't great. We haven't talked about it, and neither of us seems inclined to want to bring it up. I feel like we're more roommates or brother and sister than husband and wife. Because of COVID, we don't go out anymore with friends or to bars and restaurants, so we don't have a social life. That was probably one of the things holding us together. The thought of divorce and living alone is really scary, but keeping this marriage going is getting harder every day. Financially, it will also be difficult to have two homes. I just don't know what to do anymore. I could probably go on a little longer like this, but I don't know if I want to. I just don't know anything anymore. What is your advice?"
Wow. Yeah, Mimi is in a very, obviously a very painful situation.
Very painful and dark place right now.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, worse by the pandemic.
Yes, indeed. You know? Yeah, worse by the pandemic, and yet it's also, this is one of those things where, and I've heard this from various people, the pandemic kind of forces you to look at some stuff that maybe you weren't looking at for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, if it hadn't been for the pandemic, they might have gone on a while longer, but I don't think, you know, I think eventually Mimi was going to get to this place where she really had to consider what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to know because, you know, we don't know Mimi. And all we have is the letter. But, you know, if she's slowly being worn down by this, it sounds like both of them could be depressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to give a diagnosis, but, you know, something that's dragging you down for years and years and they're not talking about it. Boy, you know, just existing in the same household.
Yeah.
How do you do that and not bring up anything? You know, it's like you talk about tolerating anxiety. It sounds like neither of them can tolerate anxiety because nobody's talking.
Well, that's precisely it. And, you know, what gets interesting here, and you mentioned sort of they just sound depressed. Even from the letter, we could diagnose the couple, not the individuals, but the couple itself is depressed.
Mm.
It's showing the signs of simply not showing a lot of life, you
mm-hmm.
know, because they're not interacting with each other in any intimate way. And it's not just about sex, of course. They're not talking about this.
Yeah.
And they're not talking about it for all kinds of reasons. This is just a general principle. Of course, they're not talking about it for good reason, because obviously neither one of them's crazy. You know, she would have said so if mm-hmm. she thought he was crazy or if she thought she was crazy. They're not crazy. They're going through some really painful stuff, but the idea of actually confronting that with themselves and each other has been so scary that they've been avoiding it.
Mm-hmm.
That itself is part of the problem. And curiously, you know, this is one of those situations where I would be saying, wow, this sure sounds like growing pains, not a deal breaker right off. This is one where I would be saying, well, first of all, don't panic
mm-hmm.
and don't just break up right now. Now, mm-hmm. look, where do I get off saying that, right? I'm glad to say we live in a culture where everybody, and especially women, because there are cultures where women wouldn't have this power, but men would. Anybody in a relationship is allowed to call it quits and the other person doesn't have to agree. And that's a good thing. You know what I mean? It's like nobody is forced to be in marriage, at least in terms of, you know, they may be forced by other external circumstances,
mm-hmm.
but they are allowed to say, sorry, I want to divorce you, whether you like it or not, you know, with all due respect, but that's, I'm glad that, that she has that power, as does Tony.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't talked about it because talking about it has just been too scary.
Sure.
And the curious phenomenon, and this is where it, I really find it's interesting, when they start talking about it, if they do, they might discover, and I've worked with many couples who do discover, that simply opening up intimacy again in the presence of this pain can change how they feel about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, you know, there are couples I work with, I would say pretty strongly a majority of the couples I work with, when I ask them, did you ever feel that kind of spark? They say yes. And indeed, she's implying that at least.
Right. She said it, you know, everything was great at first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly is implicit in what she said, because mm-hmm. just the last 5 years or so, she's her love has been dying. And that means, well, it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And those couples where it was there, again, no guarantees, but those couples where it was there especially are the ones where when they can actually discover how to risk intimacy, they might well discover that that love is, has always been there. It's just been repressed by fear.
Yeah.
They could also discover some, you know, difficult things. I mean, Mimi might discover that part of her problem with Tony, and again, there's nothing in the letter that indicates this, but it, she could discover that she's been feeling ill-treated and, you know, largely been suppressing her consciousness of it for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. That's not an uncommon phenomenon. Or maybe Tony feels that way. You know, that sense that, gee, I love you, but you're hurting me a lot. And I just, you know, all I can do is, and again, I hear this gendered often where it's the woman saying this kind of thing. You know, I keep trying to figure out how I should be so you'll be all right, you know, so you won't be mad at me.
Right.
But I can't seem to figure it out. Well, a lot of times that's because, you know, the guy, I mean, not to.
Well, they're second guessing and not communicating is
yeah.
what's going on.
Well, and possibly because maybe the guy's being a jerk.
Well,
or
maybe
the woman's being a jerk.
Well,
do you know what I mean? That,
right.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't know who's doing what in this case. It just feels like they're not, there's no communication going on. You know, it's, I get the impression they're not talking about it. They're just going through the motions of living. Like she says, we feel more like roommate or brother and sister. So they're coexisting in the same house. They're getting up in the morning, having breakfast, going to work, coming home. Probably, you know, she goes to one room, he goes to another. She's watching TV, he's reading a book. Whatever's going on is they're not talking to each other. That's
yeah.
pretty clear. They got this one kid who's going to be graduating high school, leaving the house, and that's going to keep the two of them. Well, you know, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we look at each other and go on like this? And it doesn't sound like Mimi wants to go on like that.
No, she certainly doesn't. And, you know, that's, if nothing else, that's a hopeful sign that at least she's not going to remain in misery indefinitely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think people generally don't remain in misery indefinitely. If it gets bad enough, they'll do something about it.
Right.
A lot of times, these are the kind of situations where one or the other of them just precipitously says, I'm out of here, and the other person is kind of taken by surprise. That, you know, this particular situation, that's the kind of thing I look at when it happens, and I'm thinking, there's just an opportunity being missed there.
Right. And we might, you know, Tony might think, well, you know, she's not interested in having sex anymore, so I'm not going to bother her.
Mm-hmm.
And she might be thinking, well, I'm not enjoying sex with Tony, and I'm glad he's not bringing it up, but, you know, it's bothering me, so somebody better bring it up.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, again, with the wonders of hindsight, if they could have been talking about, like, way back when she was saying, we're having sex, but I'm not really having much fun here.
Right.
She might have said, she might have brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, if she could have brought that up, all kinds of things would probably be different in their relationship.
Right.
So that's the kind of thing that if they can actually talk about it, and here says the therapist, gee, can you take a wild guess what I'm going to suggest that they might want to do?
That they might want to go for couples therapy.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that would be a good idea actually for them because, you know, they're not, that might help them. Like
mm-hmm.
you said, get to the right argument.
Yeah.
And figure out and do it in a non-threatening way. Maybe, you know, that could be it as well. They just don't know how to talk about it without triggering each other.
Yeah.
So they are clamming up rather than risking the anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so interesting because a lot of times couples will come to me and say, well, we need to learn how to communicate. And you've heard this little rap from me before when I'm saying, you know what? It's almost never about communication. Once in a great while, somebody really has difficulty communicating because perhaps they're somewhere on the autistic spectrum, but that doesn't seem to be the case here at all. They're not having trouble communicating. They're afraid to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different thing entirely.
Yeah, yeah.
So they don't need communication techniques. They need to be willing to actually say how they feel, again, with respect and compassion, but nevertheless, they need to be able to be honest.
Right, and if it's difficult for the two of them to do it alone together, Mimi, I'm going to suggest that you do go for couples therapy because a good couples therapist can help you clarify what your problems are and help the two of you, you know, give you the language on how to communicate more effectively.
Yeah, exactly. So, as we have been saying, our sponsor, so to speak, for this podcast is the book that I wrote, which is called
Reigniting the Spark, Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back.
And we've said it's available anywhere you can get books. The quickest way to find that information would be to go to brucechalmer.com and look for the books tab, and you'll see there's links there right to, I think I've got a link on there for Amazon, for Barnes & Noble. Any of those places will give you the information if you want to order it from your local bookstore. Of course, you can do that as well. It's available as an audiobook, as well as on paper, and as for Kindle. That would be from Amazon. And any of those ways, we hope you will get the book and send us your comments. And even more so, we would like you to review it on Amazon, because that certainly helps spread the word and tell your friends about it. And as we said earlier, this book is not just for couples who are having trouble, or not just for couples who are trying to figure out whether to call it quits. It's also for couples who, as Judy mentioned in our earlier commercial, there's a chapter in there on sex, good sex, and sacred sex, which is really designed for couples who are doing fine with each other but want to deepen their intimacy sexually and also emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope you will get a hold of the book.
And if you have questions that you would like me and Bruce to answer on the air, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at bruce@brucechalmer.com or visit brucechalmer.com.
And when you visit brucechalmer.com, if you want to hear other episodes of this podcast, you can go to the podcast tab. That will give you access to all of our previous episodes. And you'll also note that we are looking for suggestions for people to interview. You note if you go back through our episodes, we've had a number of interviews of some really interesting folks about various topics. And we're planning some more interviews going forward. And if you'd like to suggest someone or even yourself, feel free to do that. You can do that via the podcast tab at brucechalmer.com. So, Judy, could you mention some of the upcoming topics for future episodes?
Sure. We'll be talking about marriage versus living together, intimacy in an era of hookups, and again, like our listener question this week, other topics if you suggest them.
And we would like you to do the things people do to let folks know about the podcast and, you know, tell your friends, send them to brucechalmer.com, the podcast tab. And if you get your podcast from any of the big podcast places, because it's available on pretty much all of them, do things like rate us and comment and subscribe and that kind of stuff. And we would appreciate it. And so until next time,
remember, be kind,
don't panic,
and have faith.